Hello and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Emily.
I'm Erin.
And today we are joined again by our friend Lane. Hi, Lane.
Hi, Lane.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Lane is our expert.
Resident film expert.
For today's episode about the All Too Well short film that just premiered on
Friday
evening.
But before we dive into that, we're going to quickly touch on our initial reactions of the vault tracks on Red Taylor's version.
Yes.
So
those include Better Man, Nothing New, Babe, Message in a Bottle, I Bet You Think About Me, which the music video just came out for that, Forever Winter, Run, The Very First Night, and of course, All Too Well, 10-minute version.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lane, of these tracks, which stood out to you the most when you first listened to them?
You know, I mean, obviously I was excited for the All Too Well 10-minute version. I mean, who wasn't really? So that's what I listened to immediately when the album released.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just great. The second most excited song was actually Better Man, because I love that song. I'm really excited to have a version of Taylor singing it.
Yes.
So I was really excited to listen to that song. Nothing New with Phoebe Bridges is really great. I obviously like Bet You Think About Me, a music video that came out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
When I listened to it, that was one that stuck out to me that I really liked.
Yeah.
Run with Ed Sheeran is great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Even like
all of them. So all of them.
They're all great. I mean, on Friday, the day the album came out, I was out at dinner and already heard Run playing over the speaker.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I love
and
that.
And I was like, this is the new one of the new songs. So
they're and all like, great. You got Taylor's drink. So give us a review of that because we didn't get it.
I did. I went and I felt so awkward, but I did it anyway.
I feel so awkward.
I felt so awkward, but I went through the drive-through, so I felt better. That's and so I was like, do you guys have Taylor's version latte? And they were like, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay. Thank you.
So funny.
And it was tasty. It was a non-fat caramel latte, and it was very much a basic fall drink. So.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. That's good.
And now they're gone, right? It was just this weekend.
I'm not sure.
I got a second one. I got one yesterday.
Oh, nice. Did she ever even talk about it?
I don't think so.
I don't know if she said anything about it.
It was just very random. It was a random thing. I wasn't expecting that. Also, I felt like she should have done something that related more to the album, like a maple latte or
chai.
Yeah, a chai latte or something, but I see what she was doing. That's like her drink that she orders. So
I agree.
I appreciate it. Okay, so for me, I would say of the vault tracks, what stood out to me the first time I listened to them, I really liked Run with Ed Sheeran. I really liked Babe because I don't listen to the Sugarland song Babe at all, really. I'm just not a fan of her voice, which sounds kind of mean, but it's just like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of it. So I really liked Taylor's version of Babe because, you know, obviously love Taylor's voice. And yeah, I Bet You Think About Me was the other one. Through the first listen, it stood out to me. And I have different favorites now, but those were like my first ones that I liked.
My initial favorites were definitely The Very First Night, which is my absolute favorite, and then Run featuring Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely floored when I first heard Fuck the Patriarchy. Never in my life expected that.
That was
weird. I never expected to hear Taylor sing that in a song, and it was life-giving, obviously. Yeah. So
It took me a few listens because at first I was like, it was so randomly thrown in there, but I like it now.
It's so abrasive. It's just out of nowhere.
It really is out of nowhere. And All Too Well, yeah, I was shocked to hear that one, to be honest. I thought it would be like the original version, like the sound-wise, and then it'd just be like a few extra lyrics, which I guess it was, but yeah, the new sound of it was very shocking to me, but I like it actually.
I have been listening to The Very First Night on repeat. I've probably listened to it like 25 times. So, I love it.
I've been pretty basic and just listening to the All Too Well 10-minute
version. I've listened to that like
so many times,
probably like 15, 20. Every time I get in
the
20.
Car, it's just like, all right, that's the first song I'm putting on.
Do you know the all idea the words
you had already? Me, who was she?
Oh, I've
and the way she performed it, the way she performed that at SNL when the music cut out, I was like,
oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh yeah, and then her SNL performance was this weekend.
Yes. Do you guys stay up and watch it?
I did, like a true fan.
I did too.
Aaron didn't.
I had to get up early the next morning. I had to get up early the next morning, but yeah, I listened to it, or I watched it yesterday evening, last night.
Emily.
Otherwise known as last night.
She popped up in that video on
Please
SNL.
Please don't destroy. Yeah. I never thought she would be with them, and I love Pete Davidson so much, so I was like so happy.
I was just watching it and I was like, she's coming out of nowhere all the time. She just can't give us a break.
I watched that too. It was funny. I liked it. Back in the day, she totally would have dated Pete Davidson.
Totally. Oh, 1989.
Yeah. Back in the day when she was single, she definitely would have went for him, I think. Yeah, I really like The Very First Night now too. That one, I did not like it first, but now that I've listened to it a few more times, it's grown on me.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
We didn't talk about Message in a Bottle.
No, we didn't talk about that one.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lane? Are you a fan? Not a fan?
I think I like it. I mean, there's obviously others that stand out
much
more than that one does.
I agree. But
the lyrics are sort of basic, but it is a Max Martin, and I was expecting more from it.
That is true, especially with Max Martin. So what did you all think about the new version of Girl at Home?
Okay, so when I first listened to it, I was like, I'm never listening to this again. I hate it so much. But then I have been listening to it, and I like it now.
I was literally listening to the new album, and my little brother texted me and was like, have you heard Girl at Home yet?
Oh, my God.
No, I haven't made it. I haven't made it to that one yet. He's like, it's so different. I don't know what's going on. I was like, okay.
That's really funny. Yeah, I don't really like Girl at Home to begin with. So, I mean, I guess it is improved, but it's just like the way it flows to me is weird. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that covers all of the vault tracks. Let's see. To me, just we can, after this, we'll talk about the film, but just, I'll ask everybody a couple of songs that you think are the most improved on Red Taylor's version. I'll start. I think The Lucky One is really good. Like, I think that sounds a lot, not that it sounded bad to begin with, but I think
with her,
the new version sounds much better.
Mm-hmm.
So, with her life experience.
Yeah, and it does hit different now, I think. I thought that Come Back Be Here was elevated for sure. And then the other one, what was the other one? Oh, State of Grace acoustic version. I thought it was so nice, but also could put you to sleep in a good way.
I mean, I'm already kind of like a Holy Ground stan, but I also really enjoyed this version as well. Yeah. It's hard for me to think about which version or which songs I think were ultimately kind of elevated or better than the original, because I'm just so used to the original version.
I know.
You know, so it's hard for me to compare, but
I know. It really is.
I really liked Everything Has Changed with that re-recording. I thought that was really fun. Mm-hmm. I loved Ed Sheeran's just overall performance in it. And just knowing now, like, kind of that was the second song that they wrote together and Run was the first one. You just kind of get more of a backstory behind it, and just I liked that one a lot.
Yeah,
I agree with Lane. Like, it's hard for me to decipher between the original and Taylor's version, but I will say the song that suffered the most is We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Oh yeah.
The we is really, really something.
I don't know what made her do that.
I'm not sure.
I was with one of my other friends yesterday, and she's not even, like, she doesn't listen to Taylor, really. She's not a, well, she's not not a fan, but she's not a Swiftie like us, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, I was listening to the new album and we were never getting back together. Like, that sounded really weird. Like, what was going on there? I was like, I don't know. I can't tell you.
We don't have the insight there. We're not sure.
No. Yeah. That one, yeah. It sounded good otherwise, but the, you know, the wheeze.
And we know that Max Martin did not come back to produce the re-recording, so that might have been why.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Who knows?
Okay.
But overall,
yeah,
I was very happy with it. I think
I was too. I was too.
It's really good and
better than Fearless.
Yeah, Taylor's version. I think so.
I think this one, I mean, I was looking at, and maybe you guys talk about this, but like the Spotify streams of the comparisons, like, I mean, what did I read? Like, Red is like the number one female, like, streams in a day. It was like 90 million. Mm-hmm. And on the list, like, Fearless, Taylor's version was like 50 million. And yeah. So I think this one was just so much more highly anticipated. And
yeah.
I definitely like this one, I think, more than Fearless.
Yeah. And she did so much more promotion for it. So it really shows that she's pushing for this one.
I wasn't expecting it to be like such a cultural moment that it ended up being, like, everyone talking about it. Cause again, like I said, my friend yesterday, she's not keyed into all things Taylor. And she's like, yeah, like, everywhere I look is like Taylor Swift, Red, Taylor's version. Like, I can't get away from it. I was like, yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. I wasn't expecting that.
If you go on TikTok, every single video I get on my For You page is
all on TikTok.
Really, every single
video. I have, like, there's so many accounts that I follow that have nothing to do with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That were posting things over this past weekend. And it's crazy. It was everywhere.
So, good for Taylor.
So do we want to talk about the short film now?
Yes.
Cool.
All right. So I've watched it twice.
And everybody watched it 7 p.m. on Friday?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. We were all there for the countdown.
Yep. I watched it twice, which I think you've watched it more than that, right?
I watched it 4 times.
Okay. And Lean, how many times have you watched it?
I have no idea how many times I've watched it. I also just really like me and Aaron talked about this. I just really like film, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I have watched it too many times. My family would like me to stop putting it off. just trying to, you know, like, I love to, like, see more of the details behind things and just, like, watching all the different scenes. And it's just, I thought it was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
I guess I've watched it 5 times because she played it on SNL.
Oh, that's true. I watched it 3 times.
There you go.
So, yes, I guess, Lean, you can start us out because, like we said,
you're a film expert.
You really love movies and film, so you know probably the most about it because I know nothing. So, start us out.
I do want to ask Lean something.
Oh, okay.
Did it remind you of Greta Gerwig?
We know this is Emily knows that we both like Greta Gerwig, obviously. Director of Lady Bird and Little Women. I really, you know, I can definitely see some connections between that and Greta Gerwig. Hadn't thought of it, but I can definitely, now that you say it, definitely see some connections there.
I saw that there was this comparison. It's identical between Little Women and the short film, the way that Saoirse Ronan and Taylor were looking. I don't know. I saw it. I can send it to you, but I was damn. It. Yeah.
I mean, Greta Gerwig's great. And this is, you know, I think they've said, like, Taylor Swift's first thing she's ever directed, or maybe that was Blake Lively. I'm not 100% sure.
I think Taylor directed... I think her first thing was The Man, and then she did the Folklore and Evermore videos, right? Willow and Cardigan.
Mm-hmm. She directs.
But she wrote this, so I think this
she
was
did
like
write her this, which was new
debut.
Mm-hmm.
Being
the combo of director and writer
and a filmmaker, I guess.
Yeah, it's I mean, I when she announced it, I was very much like, what is this going to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's not starring her. It's, you know, she's calling it a short film. And me and Aaron talked about this the other day. Like, what does mm-hmm. that exactly mean for her? Was it going to be a music video? Was it, you know, was it going to have a script? I was very much not sure what I was going into. And was excited to kind of just go along for the ride. I mean, Dylan O'Brien and Sadie Sink in it, I think, were both great. And
yeah, I really liked them. She looks so much like Alexis Bledel in Gilmore Girls. I couldn't get over it.
Does.
I was like,
totally does.
She looks so much like her.
Like, literally, my mom pointed that out too. She goes, I feel like she's making face like Rory, faces like Rory from Gilmore.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, oh my gosh.
Rory. Yeah, totally true. And I mean, they did such an amazing job, and was a really great performance, I thought. And it was really interesting to see how she kind of combined both of those, like, short film and also music video aspects. I don't really know if I would call it a short film as much as I would call it a music video with a scene of dialogue in the middle.
Yeah.
I think short film's kind of a little bit of a stretch. but nonetheless, I enjoyed it, and I think that that kitchen fighting scene is just iconic already.
I think so.
Yeah, it was, I've been reading that, well, she posted it was shot on 35 millimeter film, which is a really beautiful thing to shoot things on. And when you watch it, it's, you could very much think that like what they did to it was an after effect of like making it look like it was shot on 35 millimeter film. But it's really cool to know that they actually did that. And her cinematographer, Rena Yang, I believe is her name, has done a lot of interesting work and was kind of looking into her more after we found out that she was a cinematographer. But I thought it looked beautiful. I mean, you know, I love all the fall vibes. And
me too. Yeah. I have to say, like you, I was more expecting it to be like almost all dialogue, because I think by naming it a short film, that was like kind of what I expected. And we did get a lot of glamour shots of Sadie and Dylan just kind of like running around in the fall, which was pretty, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I had a conversation where we were talking about what we expected, and I didn't think the song was going to play at all. I was expecting this is very specific, that they would go into a diner and the song would be playing like in the background.
Ooh, I like that.
And then like Taylor, because I didn't know what Taylor was going to be in it either. I thought she would just make like a cameo or something. So I thought Taylor was going to be like the waitress behind the counter at the diner.
Yeah, we thought that Taylor would write a script that she would do as a voiceover, as the narrator.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was our thought process, which was not at all correct.
As I was watching it, I was just like, when is Taylor going to show up? Like, I know she's in it. I was like, I can't place where there's not been really another character.
I thought she would be in the party scene, just in the
back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a shock to then see her at the end with the red hair and everything. I was like,
oh. I know. She looked really good with red hair, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was more expecting her to just be a cameo somehow, not actually be a character, which brings me to this next thing, which is that, so she has this book, she as this, as her, I guess was her name, is the author, and she's got a book. And now I saw people were calculating if Sadie's character was 21 in the short film and Taylor is there 13 years later, that would make her 35, right? No, 34.
34.
And Taylor is 31 right now. And now we can go back to her interview with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, gosh.
When she talked about planting Easter eggs 3 years in advance.
True.
And she's 31 now. 3 years later, she would be 34. Does that mean she's writing a book and it's going to come out in 3 years? Like, is that what that means? That's what I want to ask you, Lane.
I'm gonna predict it now. And yes, getting a Taylor Swift book will come back on in 3 years. And
oh my gosh, that would be, I would just
die. Do we think it would be a memoir or a fiction book?
I think it could be either. I don't know.
I really think she could write either. I mean, it'd be super, super interesting to see what she could come up with. Just, you know, we've gotten a lot of like poetry written from her in the past few years that aren't necessarily song lyrics, but I wonder if she could, you know, write a story that isn't just song lyrics.
Yeah.
Too much symbolism, and just, you can't really have that be a whole short novel.
That's true. If we take the All Too Well book in the video as an Easter egg, I guess that would mean it would be a memoir, because it seemed like that's what it was in the video. But when Folklore came out, I said this, that I would really enjoy a book about the love triangle, like the fictional teenage love triangle. I think the ship's probably already sailed for that, but that would have been a fun thing to go with Folklore.
I would have enjoyed, I would have read it, obviously.
She would have done a short film for that.
That would have been cool. I would have enjoyed a short film for that whole story going on.
Okay, so I have a list of some Easter eggs that I have seen floating around. So I guess we can go through that quick.
Yeah.
So when the short film begins, there is a scarf, which is the scarf that is on the banister. And originally, the lyric that is in the Lover Diaries is, "I left my scarf on the banister." So that just shows that. Yeah, so that just shows that Taylor put in that little detail that she put in the Lover Diaries of the original lyrics of All Too Well.
She's like the most detail-oriented person I think that has ever existed.
Oh, 10 out of 10. I think she loves to just mess with us and like put in so many things.
Definitely.
Okay, there's also two parallels of the All Too Well short film and the Lover music video. So there's a scene in the Lover music video where Taylor is with the man in the video and they are in front of a birthday cake. And then there is a scene that's shot pretty much exactly like the one where Sadie is in bed crying, that she is also laying in bed with the man from the Lover video. And it's like super, super similar.
Yeah, I saw those. I saw those like screenshots, and
I did not see those. But I saw people were saying the scene in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was my next like, one.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, so a lot of people are saying that the scene in the kitchen mirrors the blank space fighting scene in that music video.
Oh, I saw me. People were talking about me.
Oh, I saw blank space. It really is very similar.
Between which scene in blank space?
The one crying. Where, yeah, screaming, crying in the dining room. She like said, the way Taylor was acting.
Kate Bolster.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, she just does this all the time.
I know.
She takes so many different things, and it's just like,
it's really hard to keep up, but we try.
We do.
And then when the older Taylor character, played by Taylor, is in the bookstore, and we don't hear what she's saying, she is reciting the lyrics of All Too Well.
I thought it was interesting that she chose a different actor to play the guy in the film at the end when he's like looking in the bookstore, because you can't even see his face. All you see is the back of his head. And it looked like, I assumed it was Dylan O'Brien, but apparently it was not. It was someone else.
Jake Lyon.
I
wonder if that's his real name or if it's supposed to be.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, because I had seen things on Twitter about that. Like, why would you change out Dylan? It didn't make a lot of sense. Like Aaron said, you just see the back of his head. But yeah, the Jake Lyon. I'm like, is that his name?
Oh, I get it. That's funny. Sorry, I'm a little slow with that.
I totally assumed it was Dylan until the second time I watched it and watched through the credits.
Unless it was him, and then she just gave him a pseudonym. We know she loves a pseudonym.
She does. She does.
Does he exist? Did anybody look it up?
I don't know.
I looked him up, and you can't find like anything on it.
Oh, so it's probably not. So it's a pseudonym, I would say. Okay, I didn't know that. That's kind of fun.
And then a lot of people are saying that the cover of Taylor's All Too Well looks like the cover of The Giving Tree, which would make sense.
That is true, yeah.
What's the moral of that book?
It's that the tree keeps giving and giving to the boy and keeps taking and taking, and then the tree has nothing left to give him because he took it all.
Because he took it, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's how this relationship was for Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And a lot has been made about the age difference between Sadie and Dylan in the movie. I mean, the short film. What do you think of that, Lane?
I mean, I think it was super specific that she did that because, I mean, obviously it was very much related to how old she was and how old Jake Gyllenhaal was when they dated. I saw a few different theories on Twitter, like trying to calculate their ages into like somehow being something. I don't know. about whether, I mean, they're always like, they're always.
Yeah. You always gotta like add the numbers.
Always adding up numbers.
Subtract them.
It was just, it's funny. So
I thought she, like, it definitely, you could tell there's an age gap. Like, it's a little weird to watch because she does, I think she's 19, you said, which I think she looks younger than 19 personally. And he looks about his age, but still, it was just like kind of shocking to watch because she's like such a baby face. And she looks so young. I was like, oh.
I mean, he does too. I think it was the beard that made him look
older. Yeah, and he didn't look young in the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think.
Or at least not as young as her.
I know. It was like, even in the scene where they're fighting in the kitchen, I was like, she feels so young to me and he's being so mean. I mean, did you guys see the video of like after the movie premiered and they were talking? Like Dylan and Sadie and Taylor were all talking about the film and he was just like, I'm sorry. Like after he's just apologizing for his character.
It reminded me of when Timothée Chalamet kept apologizing for Kyle in Lady Bird. He did the exact same thing.
What else did we want to talk about regarding?
I think there was a lot of parallels between I Bet You Think About Me in the short film, in the dinner scene, especially when it was like all your friends sit around and talk about the meaning of life, and she was just sitting there kind of lost.
Yeah.
She was so much younger.
I see.
And
that.
Her wine glass was full and all of
that. I also saw that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Yeah,
and then she went to the art gallery. That scene kind of confused me at first. I wasn't sure what it was supposed to mean because she was just like standing there like by herself. But I guess it was supposed to mean that, like, she was supposed to go with him and he didn't show up. So she was left on her own. Yeah. She didn't know anybody there. And they were all older than her, basically.
I think so. And then he showed up to talk to her dad because he's trying to impress him.
I read that that scene at that party was supposed to be a dream.
Oh.
Because at the end in the credits, it's like it like says like, cast of like the party goers in the dream or something, and
interesting.
And
then of course we got the Moment I Knew reference with the birthday party.
I really like that new lyric. It's supposed to be fun turning 21.
I know, I did too. I was like, it's also a little heartbreaking, but it was a good lyric.
Yes it was.
What do we think? Because Aaron and I were talking about this. What do we think that Dylan's character was supposed to be? Was he supposed to be an actor? And in that scene with the car, he was talking to an agent or something. What do you think about that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that... I mean, I think in my opinion, we don't get enough information to kind of know what he's supposed to be or who he's supposed to be. I definitely can see him doing something where he, you know... is probably at least a little bit famous because, you know, he had all those friends that are like enthralled by him that she says, and just kind of people look to him and, you know, he gets in that big fight with someone on the phone. So I think definitely something where he's kind of has some sort of fame could be associated with him. Yeah.
Did she not play the part of the song about the actress in the bathroom?
In the video? Played it during the party scene.
During the party scene, yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's supposed to make us assume that they're both supposed to be famous. I don't know. Or at least they run in those circles, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Casually run in those circles.
I did think of what I was going to ask you, Lane, which is, what did you think of the subtitles throughout the video?
the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, kind of, there's these like short little sections with, you know, these titles. But then, you know, I watched it again and was kind of reading about how, you know, those are supposed to be like book chapters.
Yeah, that makes sense. But at the same time, I was thinking it was a little too on the nose.
Yeah,
I was. It kind of is self-explanatory.
I wasn't really getting it. I was like, why are these here? But it made more sense when I read later that it was supposed to be alluding to her becoming an author later.
That actually makes so much sense.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection. Okay, I kind of like that. That works for me.
When she first brought out the typewriter, I was like, this is going to be so cheesy. She's going to be writing a song, isn't she? But then I'm so happy she wasn't.
Yeah, I know. Then she wasn't a musician.
Talk about on the nose. And then I saw that, well, I kind of figured this out too myself, but I did see other people say this, like everyone else figured out. I did figure some stuff out, not a lot, but you know, the book chapters didn't make that connection. But at the end, when she's reading All Too Well and the crowd is like crying, it's like the parallel between when Taylor sings that song and like all her fans who are listening relate to it and connect it to themselves. And it's like emotional for everybody. So I thought that was cute.
Speaking of like Gilmore Girls, it kind of reminded me of the revival when Rory writes the book Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She does look like Rory.
Yeah, she really does. It was distracting me the first time I watched it. I was like, this could be Rory Gilmore with red hair. Like,
with red hair.
Are we a fan of meta stuff?
Yeah.
Like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. I'm cheesy like that.
Oh, me too.
I'm very, going back to what we were saying earlier, I'm very curious as to why Taylor got another male actor for the end.
Unless this man...
It's so random.
If he doesn't exist, and it was just Dylan still, and then she just gave him the pseudonym, if that guy doesn't exist. How do you spell the last name?
L-Y-O-N.
Yeah.
Okay, let me do some fact-checking.
Fact-checking.
No, I believe her. I just wanted to say.
I looked him up on IMDb, and that's where I saw that he didn't appear in anything. So I didn't Google him. He might be on Google.
There's a gamer whose name is Jake Lyon.
It just looked exactly like Dylan.
Yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Like, why would you get another actor for the back of his head? Yeah, I mean, I saw things like that it was supposed to be like Jake Lying, like L-Y.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that it probably, that's kind of my thought, is it is like a pseudonym type situation, because mm-hmm. we know that Taylor likes that. Yeah, all I saw was the gamer, which I think we can safely say it was not him.
And why do we think that Taylor got a redhead actress to play her, just to differentiate between her and the character?
I think it was also kind of like, you know, symbolism towards the Red album a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, then, Taylor was redhead in the Babe music
video. Babe music video. Mm-hmm.
So,
and then Dylan O'Brien was also a random choice, but I know that he has like come to her defense publicly, so maybe that's why he got it.
Yeah, I didn't see where Dylan O'Brien came from, and you know, I was laughing because she said multiple times that, like, you know, she loved Dylan O'Brien. She's, like, seen everything he's been in. And I was seeing a tweet where it was like, so does Taylor Swift watch Teen Wolf?
I know. I was like, what?
I'm watching Teen Wolf.
We were watching an interview with Dylan O'Brien about it. It was really funny. He's like, they were asking him what his, like, first thought was when she asked him to be in it. And he's like, oh, you know, it's, like, amazing. It's such an amazing moment for the fans. It's an amazing moment for me. Like, I'm a huge fan. I was like,
nice. And he claims that he was told his character's name was Brandon. He goes, I was just playing Brandon. That's what I was told. Like, I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
And
it's like, I think we all know that that's maybe a stretch, Dylan, but okay. I see.
He was very attractive in it, I will say.
I thought he was very attractive.
He looks better without a beard and with longer hair, in my opinion.
I will say, I'm not a big fan of the short hair and the beard, but
in Teen Wolf, he was super cute.
Yes.
So I think, what else is there? We covered most of it. With the glamour shots, you know, there's not much to talk about other than they were pretty. And then the scene, yeah, the dialogue was, we already covered that.
I think he said the F word 13 times.
I was watching that from the first time, I was like, could we say the F word?
I know. I know. It was crazy.
But yeah, he said it 13 times.
It definitely felt like a realistic fight, for sure.
Yeah, I was reading something where it was like, wow, I felt like I just stepped into like a real fight in a kitchen, like between a couple. Like, this feels incredibly realistic, and like we shouldn't have been able to see what was going on.
They had really good chemistry, like very believable.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. So,
and then he gaslighted her.
And gaslighted. Like, okay. Or gaslighted.
Gaslighted.
Do we want to talk about that?
What?
How toxic they were?
I guess so.
Yo, in the scene in the dinner party, she was upset because he dropped her hand and because he was acting like a different person around his friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and that's why, like, when in the beginning of the video when she says, like, are you even real? Like, I saw people were wondering if the whole thing was fictional because then she wrote the book. I took it to mean, like, he was a different person around her than he was with, like, all his friends, you know?
And so she was young and romanticized.
Yeah, so she's like, are you even real? Like, all that kind of stuff. That's what I thought it meant. I don't know.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah, that was my interpretation.
Personally. Yeah, but he was definitely gaslighting her in the kitchen, and I was making my boyfriend watch it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had already seen it like 5 times, but I was making him watch it again, and he was watching that scene. He was like, "Oh, classic dude move. You've been gaslighting her and so mean, and then you're just like, okay, I'm sorry, messed up." Like,
yeah,
he's like, "It's not gonna work."
And she was too young to be like, "No," so.
Mm-hmm. And then she had to wash the dishes, even though he's a big feminist with his
keychain
or whatever. Didn't even offer to help.
We know Jake Gyllenhaal is always like, women are better than men. I think he said that recently.
Yeah. Well.
But he doesn't put his money where his mouth is.
I'm just happy to not be Jake Gyllenhaal's publicist at the moment. Would not be a good job.
No, that would not be good. Mm-hmm. I hope that he is... or he was prepared for this. I feel like I wouldn't have been, because like I said, I was not expecting it to be as big as it ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
So his thought process was probably like, oh, you know, like it's an old album, like we've already been here, like it'll be fine. But I don't think it's fine.
Like, so. 10 years later, the internet is just coming for him all over again.
Yeah, Aaron and I are probably going to do an episode soon about if Taylor can get overexposed again. Because we see that she's being elevated to such a high point again. So, and I've seen so much of people again being like, why is she dragging all this back up again? She can't get over anything. It's so annoying. But anyway.
I know. Every time I see that, it's just kind of like, you know, she said it so many times in interviews that it's like, especially now, that it's not about that relationship. Like, it's about the fans now and the way that they've connected to the song and how she's talked about, you know, this song used to be really sad for her until she like saw the way that her fans connected with it and how it was so much of an enjoyable time to get to sing it to them. And I think that's what it was more about, because, you know, it was Jimmy Fallon or Seth Meyers who was like, you know, whoever this song was written about is probably not happy to be going through this again. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't even thought about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe her, but yeah, she did say that.
Probably not true, but I thought it was funny for her to say it.
Colin Jost on Weekend Update pissed me off.
I know.
Like, it's been a good week to realize don't break up with Taylor Swift. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Yeah, like, yeah. I think we're done with that joke, because as we've said, it's never funny. Still not funny. Annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I guess the last question can be, do you believe, because I know I've seen some debate over this, was the 10-minute version of All Too Well written like 10 years ago? Was some of it written then, some of it written now, or did she like add it all now? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think that I honestly think that most of it was written back then, except for the last part of the song. Mm-hmm. I think that's that part just logically had to be written, you know, sooner, because it talks about him having, you know, lovers who are still her age, even though mm-hmm. he gets older. That seemed very much like it just had to be written.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
definitely.
I think it was
her experience from back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it was probably a mix of both. Like, she probably had, so I know there's a story she tells about singing for 10 minutes or whatever. I'm sorry, I don't believe that she wrote that entire song in one sitting in like 10 minutes. I believe that her and her band were playing, they probably wrote like the music, you know, and just like, yeah, like had the like vibe. Like maybe a few lyrics here and there. Then I think she probably went in, she added the lyrics, and maybe she had a few different lyrics she's gonna add but didn't, and then she like worked them into the 10-minute song and then maybe wrote a few new lyrics. I think it's probably a mix of both. Like mm-hmm. it's just been workshopped over the years a lot. I don't think she wrote it all 10 years ago.
I did see that people were searching Google Analytics for Fuck the Patriarchy and nobody said that in 2011 when she would have written it.
Mm.
Like no search results came up. That was something we started saying like 2015, 2016.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Unless Jake was ahead of the curve. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he coined the phrase.
He made it.
I'm watching over the phrase.
So that is interesting.
I mean, it's not that hard to like come up with that phrase. So I guess it is.
In 2011 though.
Yeah, but like it's not a bit.
Not too far out.
Yeah, it's like not a clever thing, or it's not a like particularly unique.
But Taylor didn't want to be known as a feminist before 2015. So
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she just wanted it for TikTok so that people could say it on TikTok. That kind of adds up.
Oh, I'm still shocked when that came out. I was like, what?
Yeah, it was like, I like it now, like I said, but it did not flow for me at first because mm-hmm. it was just like, oh.
Yeah, I did not get that it was like on a keychain. I was just like, what?
I know. I didn't even understand what she meant. Like, oh, like, she's driving, so like, that's mm-hmm. sexist. Like, I didn't understand.
But I can tell from it, because it isn't the keychain. I thought that at first, but it's in quotes if you look up the lyrics. So mm-hmm. apparently it means that he was kind of joking and he like threw her the keys and was like, fuck the patriarchy, haha, but I'm going to treat you like shit.
Okay.
So it's like if like he's going to have her drive instead of him driving because like, ha ha ha,
like,
women can drive too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I thought from that.
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, out of 5 stars, what would you rate the short film?
I think I'd give it like a solid like 4.3.
Probably, I would just give it probably 4 stars just because I wish there was a lot more dialogue.
Yeah. I would say I'm in the ballpark, like 4.1, 4.2. Like, you know, I do wish there was more dialogue too, because I don't know. It would have been interesting to see what Taylor wrote.
And a lot of it was very on the nose.
Yeah.
And I do wish there was more nuance within just not playing out the song frame for frame.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's such a visual song. I know. Like that's what you have to do. Because the images are so specific and...
They are. It's a very image-heavy song. Because, you know, just like with I Bet You Think About Me, like that's like totally different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. That was... Yeah, I gotta watch that again. I was confused at first. But so. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. All right, so that was, yeah, let me try that again. So those were our thoughts about just initial reactions to the Vault tracks, to the album as a whole, and then, of course, to the All Too Well short film.
but really extended music video, basically. So next time we'll be talking about the album as a whole and breaking it down piece by piece. So look forward to that, and we will see you next time.
Yes. Thank you, Lane, for coming on with
us. Thanks, Lane.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always love to be on it.